Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Okay, so we're still reading my book, The Pesky Kids 5, The Final Mission, and we're now up to Chapter 12, The Paper. So, you probably remember that from last week, the story, we left it with Joe and Loretta had gone out to meet the newspaper delivery man and rescue the paper from Pumpkin before he destroyed it, because they wanted to find out who was going to be running for the title of Potato Princess. So, we'll pick the story up there. Here we go, Chapter 12. It was still fairly dark, so Loretta waited until she was back in the warm, well-lit kitchen before she even tried to read the paper. April could not have been less interested in the matter. She was bustling about the kitchen, feeding Pumpkin and putting breakfast together for herself. Joe had gone beyond the idea of making toast. He was too hungry to wait for the toaster. He just grabbed a box of breakfast cereal and a spoon and started eating it dry straight from the box. Loretta laid the paper out flat and started flicking through, looking for the announcements page with a list of nominees. Suddenly she stopped. Quickly she read, and in the next second she screamed. Ah! April was so startled she dropped a can of dog food on her foot. Ow! Cried April. What on earth are you caterwauling about? Joe didn't even try talking. He just went to the fridge, got the milk, poured it directly into the box of cereal, and kept eating. He was going to need sustenance. If something was so exciting it made Loretta scream, there's no way it could be good news. Loretta swiveled on her stool to face April. April wasn't looking at her. She was down on her hands and knees trying to clean up the spattered dog food with a kitchen wipe, while Pumpkin danced excitedly around her, snatching bites. It's the list of nominees for Potato Princess, said Loretta, still staring at April.
List of morons, more like, muttered April. They should call it the Potato-Headed Princess. You'd have to have mashed potato between your ears to want to be involved.
Loretta beamed at April. But this year's list has a few surprises.
It's surprising there even is a list in this day and age, said April. I'm amazed the government hasn't shut it down for contravening every principle of feminism.
Joe was starting to get curious now. His mind was churning. What on that list had made Loretta so excited?
Who has been nominated, he asked.
Loretta glanced at him. Well, of course, me, humph, said April, as she tried to get the last stubborn chunks of dog food out from the edge where the floor meets the kickboard by the sink. And Daisy Odensdotter. Joe shuddered. Normally, he would never dream of being rude about a girl, but he was so terrified of Daisy that his body reacted involuntarily. As well as the names you would expect, Matilda Vos Nevers, Alice Perlman, Vanessa Riddle, continued Loretta.
That lot have barely got two brain cells to rub together between them, muttered April.
But the last name on the list is, continued Loretta, April Pesky. April had just got to her feet. She was holding Pumpkin's dog bowl in one hand and a wad of filthy kitchen paper in the other.
You've been nominated for Potato Princess, said Loretta with a huge grin.
April lost her grip on the dog bowl and it smashed to the ground, making another mess. But she didn't even look down.
What did you say? Asked April. You are a Potato Princess nominee, said Loretta.
Over the coming days, your every move will be watched by the citizens of Currawong as they judge you on your ability to uphold the virtues of the potato pageant. Then, on Friday, they all vote at the polling booth at the CWA. April was shaking her head.
But I don't want to be a potato, she protested. Too late, said Loretta.
Someone must think you're worthy. You must have a secret admirer.
Oh, gross, said April. I'm going to pull out of the competition.
Joe went over to read the article for himself. What Loretta had said was true, but something else caught his eye as well.
Hey, said Joe, what's this here?
He stabbed his big finger at a different point on the page.
That's my name.
Oh, my, exclaimed Loretta. That is an honour.
What on earth? Asked Joe. He was starting to panic. Loretta leaned in to read it carefully. You have been named captain of the Currawong High School Capture the Potato Team. Huh? Said Joe. As a prelude to the Potato Princess pageant, said Loretta, the Capture the Potato game is held in the Daffodil Gardens. Currawong High competes against St. Anthony's to see who can steal the other's potato sack first. Why would anyone want to steal potatoes? Asked April. For the honour of it, said Loretta. She grabbed Joe and wrapped him in a big hug. I'm so proud of you both. Loretta turned to hug April too, but she was covered in dog food, so thought better of it. This is going to be the best potato pageant ever. Okay, well, that's the end of chapter 12. Let's keep going, and chapter 13 is Ferdinand. Joe pumped the pedals of his bicycle harder than usual. He was in a hurry to get to school. Normally, he dawdled as much as the others. Social interaction was always awkward for him. Apart from his stammer, he was also physically so tall and bulky that some kids stared. Although the worst bit about school was when teachers asked him questions. He usually knew the answers in his head, but it was getting his tongue to say the words that was the hard part, especially when the other 29 kids in the class had turned to hear what he'd say. That's why, regardless of what he was asked, he always tried to answer with the same thing. I don't know. He was usually pretty confident he could get those words out without stumbling. Sometimes he'd even abbreviate it further and just say, dunno. This was even better because it lowered the teacher's expectations of his intelligence further, which made them less likely to ask questions in the future. But today, Joe was hurrying so that he could have a conversation, a thing he usually dreaded. This time, things had gone too far. It was unavoidable. He had to talk to Mr. Popov. He was sure a teacher couldn't put him in a sporting team without his permission, or at least warning him that it was about to happen. He had to get out of it. Luckily, April was in a hurry too. She was just as mad, well, actually a lot madder, April had a great capacity for anger, about being nominated for Potato Princess. She was angry with the unknown person who had nominated her, but she was also angry with the whole ridiculous pageant itself. As she cycled down the road, a halo of rage orbited her like the rings of Saturn. Pumpkin whizzed alongside her, fueling her anger with his yappy bark. April's first objective was to find the sackful of nominations and destroy it, perhaps by burning it, or at the very least emptying it into the nearest toilet and flushing all the names away. Then she intended to find out who nominated her and seek retribution. She considered sicking Pumpkin on them, but decided she wanted to save the pleasure for herself. As a result of all the pent-up frustration of his siblings, Finn was struggling to keep up. Even Vladimir, Loretta's horse, was having to canter a little faster than usual to match their pace. Slow down, complained Finn. Speed up, snapped April. My legs are on fire, complained Finn. It'll do them good, said April. You're too weedy. You need to build some muscle. This was a bit rich. April was very weedy herself, but her tiny muscles seemed to have endless energy and disproportionate strength. We could travel to school in a much more relaxed fashion if you just accepted the nomination and embraced your role as a Potato Princess nominee, said Loretta. I'd rather embrace a venomous snake, growled April. Got to get there, said Joe. See you later. Joe stood up on his pedals and sprinted away, as if he was riding the last leg of the Tour de France down the Champs-Élysées. Oh, I wish my legs could do that, said Finn. You'd never be able to ride a bicycle that fast, said April. Your oversized head creates too much wind resistance. Finn didn't even respond. It was probably true. Joe soon found Mr. Popov. He was marking a line on the football field using a paint roller. Joe couldn't get one word out. He was really upset and out of breath from riding to school so quickly. What do you want, pesky? Snapped Mr. Popov in his thick Russian accent. He was always angry. He'd become a PE teacher because he loved exercise himself and thought he would enjoy sharing his passion with teenagers. Instead, he found himself deep in a career where he spent his whole time yelling at youths who hated exercise and would go to enormous lengths to avoid it. Joe was so tongue-tied he was starting to go red in the face from frustration. The sound of galloping hooves intervened. Joe turned to see Loretta slipping off her horse. She whistled once and Vladimir wandered off to graze on the long grass alongside the oval. Joe would like to know how his name came to be in the paper saying he was captain of the potato team, announced Loretta. What's this to you, Viswanathan? Asked Mr. Popov. He was doing his best to be grumpy, but it's hard to keep it up with someone as charming and polite as Loretta. Joe is my brother, said Loretta. Joe tried to say, no, you're not, but the words wouldn't come out either. I'm concerned you may be taking advantage of his good nature, said Loretta. Saying he is in the potato team without talking to him about it, that's very manipulative, almost bullying. Mr. Popov scowled. I'm a PE teacher. This is my job, to bully students. Well, Joe isn't always the best at expressing himself verbally, said Loretta, so I'm here to advocate on his behalf. Joe was trying to say, but I don't want you to. But he couldn't, so he was stuck watching two manipulative people negotiate what was going to happen to him. Joe does not want to be captain of the Capture the Potato team, said Loretta.
I don't want him to be either, yelled Mr. Popov.
Really, said Loretta. Well, that was easy. He can pull out then.
No, he can't, said Mr. Popov. He was not my first choice. Sure, he's a talented athlete, but he's got no fire, no aggressive, no ruthlessness.
Joe hung his head in shame. It was true. He was nice.
I wanted someone who would stop at nothing to crush the opposition, continued Mr. Popov. I wanted Daisy Oden's daughter.
Well, then why didn't you ask her? Asked Loretta.
She was poached, said Mr. Popov.
In boiling water? Asked Joe.
His thoughts were never far from food, and when Mr. Popov said poached, it made him think of eggs.
No, poached! Headhunted! Stolen from under my nose, complained Mr. Popov.
But there are only two teams, said Loretta. Are you saying that she has been poached by St. Anthony's?
St. Anthony's was Loretta's former school. It was super posh. Only extremely wealthy people could afford to send their children there. Daisy's family did well enough, but they weren't wealthy on that obscene scale.
They got to her parents last night, said Mr. Popov. Offered full scholarship for Daisy.
And they accepted? Asked Loretta. She was surprised. Daisy was very aggressive and competitive. She'd only ever had mean things to say about St. Anthony's.
They offered her special one-on-one hockey coaching, said Mr. Popov.
Ah, said Loretta. That explained it. Daisy was mad for hockey. It involved two of her favourite things, winning and whacking things with a stick.
Then I thought about asking April, said Mr. Popov. She's weedy but vicious. But the rules say all the players must be over 13.
Oh, dear. She would have been a good choice, agreed Loretta.
And I can't choose you because of the cheating, said Mr. Popov.
I think you mean my creative interpretation of the rules, said Loretta.
Mr. Popov just snorted.
Ha!
There was nothing forbidding the use of explosives, said Loretta. It's the founder of the game who people should be angry with, not me.
So I'm stuck with him, Mr. Popov said, tilting his head at Joe as though he wasn't even worth the effort of pointing at.
Loretta looked Joe over from head to toe. I'm sure we can train him up.
Hey, said Joe, you're meant to...
He was trying to say, you're meant to be helping me.
He's like Ferdinand the Bull, said Loretta.
Huh, said Joe. Haven't you ever read the picture book, asked Loretta. It's about a calm and peaceful bull who transforms into a vicious beast when he's stung by a bee.
You think a bee sting would do it? Asked Mr. Popov, sizing Joe up and considering this option.
Joe took a step back as though afraid one of these two might whip out a bee right then and there.
No, said Loretta, not literally a bee. I've seen Joe get stung by a bee. He just gets sad and blotchy. We have to discover Joe's own personal bee, the thing that makes him turn into a crazed, enraged beast.
You'd better get on that, said Mr. Popov. The first training session is tomorrow after school.
He turned away and went back to marking his lines. The bell rang and Loretta started to walk to class.
What just happened? Asked Joe.
You've just accepted the quest to lead Currawong High to victory in the Capture the Potato game, said Loretta.
But I never said yes, said Joe.
I agreed for you, said Loretta. Trust me, I'm better at this kind of decision-making than you. You did the right thing, or rather, I did the right thing. Clearly, this is your destiny. There's no point fighting it.
But I don't know how to play, said Joe.
That's fine, said Loretta. I do, and I've got some imaginative ideas for strategy this year.
Joe trudged after Loretta. He still wasn't sure what had just happened. He'd always thought April was the most troublesome sister in the world, but now he was beginning to suspect that his new, self-adopted sister was just as bad, if not worse.
Okay, well, that's the end of chapter 13, so we'll leave it there for now. So this episode is going to go out on the 7th of June. So that means, next week, 7:40. Oh, yeah, so the week after that, I'll tell you what I'll do. Lots of people have been asking me to do another Nanny Piggins story. So next week,
what I'll do is I will read a chapter from Nanny Piggins 4 for the podcast. And the reason I'll do that is because the audiobook of Nanny Piggins 4, which is called Nanny Piggins and the Accidental Blast Off, so the audiobook of that book is going to be coming out on the 15th of June. So I will read one chapter from that book so that you get to hear the story. It's a short story, so it's a complete story. You can enjoy it. And if you like it and you're missing the Nanny Piggins stories, well, I do the Pesky Kids. You can buy the audiobook, and I think there's like 9 other Nanny Piggins stories in that book. Yeah, 9. Pretty sure there's 10 altogether. So 9 stories in that, 9 more in that book. Okay, so that's what's going to happen next week. So we'll leave it there for now. And until then, goodbye.